Isaiah chapter 5, I want you to look at these verses with me. And I want you to notice in particular what was the fourth of Isaiah's six prophetic woes. Verse 20 says this, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness." And then he says, "Them that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." In other words, this pronouncement of divine judgment, which is what the word woe obviously means, was directed to the priests, to the politicians, to the parents, to all the people, but specifically to anyone of influence or authority and who used that influence to mislabel what God had already labeled. The last illustration in verse 20, you'll notice, was calling that which is bitter sweet. Everybody knows that if something is sour or bitter, it's the exact opposite of something that is sweet. So why would anybody want to mislabel that? Most of you were given this morning an example of something sour or bitter. And in fact, you'll notice the packaging is labeled. And it's labeled with words like sour, mouth puckering, or the word lemon. And of course, that's just being honest. It doesn't say on the label honey drops or sugar jacks or sweet heads. It says what it is. In fact, now would be a good time to take one and just stick it in your mouth. Take your time, I'll wait. Okay, never mind, I won't wait. What I will do, however, is remind us all that, you know, it's relatively harmless to mislabel or to mislead with just a little piece of candy. I don't think there's a woe ever connected to that. It's not very nice, obviously, but it's not evil. At least I hope not. You know why? Because, as I've mentioned before, one of the little things that I've done with all three of our boys, and I did when they were babies, and then with our granddaughters when they were babies, is something that many of you here have done and have also been guilty of. And that is, while you're sitting at a restaurant somewhere, and the little tiny babies maybe up in a high chair, and the family's all gathered around, and you take a slice or a wedge of lemon that comes with your iced tea, and you just offer it to the little bambino, right? And of course, if they're skeptical, if they're unwilling at first, you just taste it yourself with a big smile, or you fake taste it with a big smile. Like it's a perfectly yellow, marshmallow, sugary, sweet thing. And then you do this. And why do you do this? Because you want the little cherub to put the lemon in their mouth and bite down on it. And why do you want that? Because you want to see their contorted facial expressions and their shocked reaction. And you know why? Why do you do that, Pastor? For the cheap thrills. Because it's dinner and a show. And the best part is, if you're really good at it, really deceptive, they'll do it again. Watery eyes, drooling, wincing. You see, Pastor, that's ornery. That's not very nice. It's bait and switch, meanness. Okay, probably, but let me tell you what it's not. It's not destructive. It's not deadly. It's not toxic. What is toxic and ruinous and detrimental and pernicious is to put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, to put darkness as if it were light and light as if it were darkness, with all of the eternal issues that God calls good and God calls evil. In other words, what is truly destructive and why there's a woe, what's destructive to nations and societies and lives and homes, is taking the label that God gave off of something and replacing it with a label that is man-made, which says the opposite. Taking something that is sour and then calling that thing sweet. Some of you may recall, some years ago, the McDonald's Corporation agreed to donate $10 million to a Hindu vegetarian camp. It was a group in Seattle, Washington, because they were sued for mislabeling their French fries. They also issued a bunch of scores of apologies for doing that because they, quote, defiled and offended Hindus, because while it's true that French fries and hash browns are made out of potatoes and they're vegetarian, apparently the oil McDonald used contained, quote, the essence of beef for flavoring. So their mislabeling cost McDonald's millions of dollars. And then a change that year to using only vegetable oil in all of their frying, which is why it probably doesn't taste as good. I don't know. But I have a question. I'd like to know where I can go to file my lawsuit for the defilement and the offense that has been caused by those who mislabel good, and they mislabel evil by calling it good. I'd like to know this. I'd like to know where I can go to sue certain justices of the Supreme Court, purely political partisans, who have used their power and influence to mislabel, I don't know, marriage, for example, who put darkness for light. You know, a few vegetarians may feel defiled and offended because some hash browns were mislabeled. And Andy, as a baby, may have winced when I gave him a lemon. But folks, an entire nation is being defiled when you put down bitter as sweet and sweet as bitter with the revelation of God's word. I'll put it to you this way. 2,000 years ago, our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, said this in Matthew 19:4. He which made them at the beginning made them male and female. Verse 6 says, what God hath joined together. Same text. You know the stat? God is the one who joins people together. Not government, not religion, not judges. And Jesus declared that God made them and joins together a male and a female that just happened to come from, guess what? A mother and a father. This was 2,000 years ago in the New Testament. 3,000 years ago in the prophets such as Ezekiel, it says the same thing. 4,000 years ago, Moses said it in the law, in Leviticus, in Deuteronomy. 6,000 years ago, the patriarch said it in Genesis 19. And beloved, in eternity past, God himself declared it at the dawn of creation when he said, let us make man in our image. And it goes on to say, male and female created he them. And guess what? Nobody. Nobody except for Lucifer. Nobody argued with that. Not science, not nature, not biology, not civilizations, not history, not psychology. For thousands of years, not education, and certainly not even common sense. Nobody declared that something that is sweet is now sour. You may remember the Obergefell case several years ago. The late Justice Scalia, in his famous dissent, wrote these words. The dissented reasoning of the majority was like reading the mystical aphorisms of the fortune cookie. In other words, empty, meaningless, fluff. You know, you open up a cookie. What's your fortune cookie say? Oh, it says determination will help you touch the sky. What does that mean? I don't know. Doesn't mean anything to me. Mine says, the significance of your problem at this time, you must seek out. Really? What's that mean? I don't know. I had one time that said, you'll be hungry again in 1 hour. Now, that one was actually true and real. And what was an unprecedented move them nearly 6 years ago? All four... Remember, it was a 5-4 decision? All four of the minority justices wrote out their own dissent and read them out loud. Nobody ever did that before. You know why they did it? Because 6,000 years of human history and the eternal and immutable word of God cannot be changed by a fortune cookie opinion of a Supreme Court. Those five justices, beloved, were not honest brokers of the law or of the truth. I know what the law says now. The law says now marriage is defined as something wholly new, entirely new. But that same court says that a baby in a mother's womb is not human life. How true is that law? I still remember Justice Kennedy's fortune cookie opinion. He was the swing vote, as you know, and he said this. He said that it was his own, quote, own reasoned judgment that led him to cast the swing vote. Really? You ever notice verse 21 of this text? Look at it. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. The Washington Post wrote that the Supreme Court, quote, their decision was a great result, but based on dubious reasoning, the justices' majority opinion was based on dubious, incoherent logic. And of course it was. Folks, it has to be incoherent when you're trying to call darkness light. The justices could just as well write an opinion on the cold, frigid surface of the sun, and it would be no less false. Proverbs 24:24 says, he that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. Proverbs 17:15 says, he that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, they both are an abomination to the Lord. You say, Pastor, you don't seem very, very cheery on this Sunday morning. Well, I guess not when it comes to woes. But folks, neither am I defeated. I mean, I am cheery. I'm cheery to be here with you. It's gorgeous out here. I'm blessed to have God's holy word and to love God's people and to bask in this weather. I even have some lemon heads to eat later. God's good all the time. But sometimes his goodness leads us to repentance. And I know people have said to me in the past, Pastor, you preach like that, you're going to lose some givers. You're going to decrease the crowd. You'll get some of these, you know, these dislikes on Facebook. Yep, no doubt. But I'm not concerned with being faithful to givers. I am concerned with being faithful to God. God called Isaiah to preach all of these woes. Think about this. He called that man to preach to a backslidden nation. And he said, who will go and make these people and make their ears heavy? Can you imagine? That's your commission. Imagine TV preachers and all the religious guys today being told, I want you to go to America and don't tickle their ears. I want you to make their ears heavy. Isaiah said in chapter 6 and verse 8, here am I, Lord, send me. And if Isaiah could be as faithful in that day as he was when the cities, the Bible says, were laid waste, surely we can when for the most part we are in this day of ease in Zion. Woe to them that call evil good. Woe to them that call good evil. When Abraham Lincoln was on the throes of the Civil War, one of his advisors came and told him and tried to advise him to make a purely political statement to the nation that was duplicitous. It was a half-truth. And Lincoln responded to the man with a question. He said, how many legs has a dog? And the man said, four. He said, okay, Lincoln said, suppose we call the dog's tail a leg. How many legs would it have then? And the man said, five. And Lincoln said, no. Calling a tail a leg does not make it so. And beloved, calling something that's bitter sweet does not make it so. It brings me to three things very briefly, I want us to realize before we leave today. You know, Paul said in Romans 1:25 that the hallmark of an ungodly nation and people is when they, quote, change the truth of God into a lie. None of us ever want to be included in that group. So what must we do? Three things this morning. Number one is desire. That is your heart. You have to want what God wants. Number two is discern. That's your head. You have to know what God wants. Number three is decide. That's your will. Therefore, you have to choose what God wants. In other words, hear me, the only way to choose light over darkness, to choose sweet over bitter, is to know which is which. And the only way to get that knowledge and that certainty is to seek God's word. and not be wise in your own eyes. And then, of course, once you know the difference between bitter and sweet, the only way to choose rightly is to want to do it. And of course, that's why the very first thing that I put is you have to want it. To really know what God knows and want what God wants, you have to want what God wants. Again, it all goes back to the heart. We're going to talk about it tonight. You add to your faith virtue, you first have to want. In your heart and soul, you want to please God and not man or mammon. This is why the Bible says the fool hath said in his heart, not his head. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Desire, discern, decide. Let me illustrate this with one of the worst examples where our own nation wants to put bitter for sweet. In 1956, Dodie Smith wrote a novel. The novel was called 101 Dalmatians, right? 5 years later, Disney made it into an animated film. And you know, it's a movie with one of the greatest villains ever. Cruella de Vil. What a name. Cruel Devil Cruella de Vil. There's actually a live-action prequel that has been in production, but it's delayed because of COVID. And the simple title of that film that's still yet to come out is just called Cruella. And that's no surprise. She's one of the vilest and most despised antagonists in history. Which is also no surprise, because what does she do, folks? You know the story. I think you do. Most of you do. What she does is she kidnaps Dalmatian puppies in order to skin them to make a coat with their fur, because it's softer than older Dalmatians and she must have those spots for her fur coat. There's nothing sweet about that. That is sour. That is bitter. It is seen by the world and by anybody who's read the book or watched the film as horrid, as wicked and cruel and evil. And of course, you realize that if anything even remotely close to that, this takes place in London. If anything like that actually occurred in this country today, can you imagine the outrage, right? Can you imagine the outcry, not just from PETA, but from academia, from the courts, mainstream media, Hollywood, Congress? The outrage would be immediate. You simply cannot take puppies from a litter just for the sake of your convenience and your comfort. Well, how about the film 101 Babies? I remind you that when Pongo and Purdy had all those puppies and they kept counting them, one of them was stillborn. One of them was apparently dead until Roger nursed it back to life. 101 Babies is the story of kidnapping infants for other people's convenience or comfort. Except they're not taken from a litter. They're taken from the comfort of their own mother's womb. And where's the outrage in America? It's not fiction. Where's the outcry? Where's the sourness and the bitterness? Well, folks, it's not called bitter, this action. It's actually called sweet. It's not called darkness. It's called light. You know, I read recently that they're not called babies by so many now. They're not even called fetuses. No. This professor called them, here it is, quote, products of conception. We need to take those products of conception and use them. You see, beloved, that's how people put something sour in their mouth and tell themselves it's actually sweet. The lie always begins with words and with definitions. But God already has words and definitions. God has already shown us what is light, what is darkness, what is sweet, and what is bitter. And he says to nations, woe to them. Woe to them that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, it's always surprising to me how many articles and sermons I've noted through the years from Isaiah chapter 5. People ask me how I prepare messages. I prepare by reading everything I can find after I've read the scripture over and over again on that subject. It's always surprised me how many articles or even sermons in Isaiah 5 have the title, quote, confusing light with darkness, or confusing bitter and sour. I look at those titles and I think, confusion, I don't read those. Because, folks, that's not the indictment. They weren't confused about which is which. They were corrupt. The word is put. You see that in the verse? This was a choice because they didn't want what God wants. Discern. Desire. Decide. It was our own Lord Jesus who said, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. It doesn't say it shall set you free. That sounds like a one-time event. It says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You keep knowing the truth. And I'm looking at a bunch of people, a whole bunch of people in their cars this morning, and thinking about those at home who are free. Free in the light of the knowledge that sour is not sweet. That evil is not good. That truth is eternal. And you know what, beloved? That's why this morning, instead of despair or fear or wrath or anxiety, I say with Isaiah, hear my Lord, send me. Beloved, God decided when and where we would be born. I know many of you are lamenting this day and this age in which we are living. Some of you in this room, in this place, are old enough to remember what was almost a different day and age. But it's really not. You can lament all you want, but God decided when and where we would be born. God also decided and knew when we would be born again. So that, hey, you know what? We don't need to be in a different generation or time. These last days are perfect for us to glorify God and sing songs while marching to Zion. I mentioned speaking with Shirley last night. And the last time she spoke to me, she could barely breathe, she could barely talk. She reminisced a little bit about our time in Indiantown when I was in high school. And she said, Pastor. And I said, Shirley, you can still call me Jimmy if you want. She said, Pastor, I'm going home. All I ask is that you keep on preaching what you preached and believed back in high school. And to that I say, surely, I will. By the goodness and by the grace of God. Beloved, this world, this society wants you to lose the difference. You know, most of us, you know of, who have had the coronavirus, lost their taste, and some their smell, both. Annie and I lost our taste. My taste isn't back yet entirely. But I tell you what I can do, what I noticed. I can tell if something I put in my mouth is sweet, and I can tell if it's sour. Now, I can't tell you what it is. I can't tell you if it's a lemon or an orange, anything like that. I can't tell you if the sweetness is a brownie or whatever, but I can tell if something's sweet and something is sour. And for that little bit of distinction that's been coming back, I'm very grateful. It's a good sign. If you're here and you're listening and you're watching and you can tell that there's a difference between what's right and what's wrong, what's bitter and what's sweet, what's light and what's darkness, this is the grace of God for you. This is God being good to you and revealing to you Now he says this. Don't join with those. Don't be among those who I've said woe to them. He says, who will go and at sometimes, yes, make their ears heavy? Because you tell the truth. You tell the truth about right and wrong and good and evil. Because it's when people learn about the truth about evil that they recognize all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. You can see why Satan wants to minimize sin, because therefore it minimizes the gospel. Nobody needs to be saved until they're lost. And if the worst possible things that are the worst sour, bitter things can be called sweet in a society, how do you lead those people to Christ? Here am I, Lord. Send me. Here are we, Lord. Send us. And all God's people said, amen. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed for just a moment. Maybe, I don't know, you know, last Sunday was Sanctity of Life Sunday. I tend not to stick to calendars when I preach, depending on what God leads me to, but he definitely lead me to this. And maybe you're here and you're thinking, wow, Pastor, you know, I came today and I wanted to hear some uplifting words. I wanted to hear that I'm a victor, not a victim, and so on. Okay. Maybe next week. I don't know. But I also know this. I know that our country at this time, in this place, we have a wonderful, we can be Isaiah's. We can be Jeremiah's. We can be John the Baptist's. We have a glorious opportunity. When given that opportunity, not only to know what's right and wrong, to believe what's right and wrong, to want what's right and wrong because God wants, but sometimes to stand up for it, to speak out for it. If you're here and you're listening at home, or you're here on this property and you can hear, I wonder if you would just say to the Lord, here am I. Today, on this Lord's Day, here am I, send me, help me, Lord, to want what you want. First, it starts with the heart. That's why I hope you'll listen tonight. Add to your faith virtue. It begins with what you want. Lord, I want what you want. Now I want to know what you know. And then I want to choose what you want. Here am I, send me. Pray that prayer. Open your heart. If you're here today or you're listening at home or somewhere and you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, all have sinned. There is such a thing as sin. It's called coming short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin is death and hell, but God gave his Son so that you don't have to die or go to hell, die for eternity. And today would be a day of salvation for you. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Father in heaven, we are grateful. We are thankful for your word. We are thankful, Lord, that there is even the possibility that we can tell the difference between something that is dark and something that is light, something that is sour and something that is sweet. And I pray that knowing that that difference, that discernment comes for you is a gift of your grace, that we will not sin against it by minimizing, by trying to soft pedal the things that you label with woes in your word. Help us to be honest with your truth, both to ourselves, to our children, our grandchildren, and our neighbors, to all that were around us. Father, for these who are not sure about salvation, may you continue to speak to their heart and use this church as an instrument in your hand to reach them with the gospel. And I pray you'll give us a wonderful Lord's Day today. And throughout this day. And I pray, Father, that this week, until we come together on Wednesday, and in a few weeks back in the auditorium in person, please, Father, help us to be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, true ambassadors representing heaven on earth, not earth on earth. We'll praise you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.